Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Goat Squad Sports Radio Podcast. It is I, Puma, along with Ice Water, giving you 90 more minutes of overtime of sports. Catch us on the first 40 on YouTube, the Goat Squad Sports Radio Podcast on YouTube. We've been running that for a few months now. Had a really, really great show we just recorded. We'll be posting that up in about a couple of hours. How you doing, Ice Water?
I'm all right, bro. Trying to recover from the 40.
Man, I love you and Black to life, man. You guys come up with some great, great perspective on sports. We cover things that a lot of different sports outlets won't cover for whatever reason. I don't know, but we keep it rolling. And we're not afraid to say what we feel and what our perspectives are. And I feel good about us three can go up against anybody in sports and have a debate, a healthy debate about the topics and what our perspectives are. So, you two are it for me as far as going to battle and talking sports. And I always learn a lot from you two when we're talking. Any overlapping topics that we talked about in the first 40 you want to bring up?
Not really. I mean, I kind of like you have a lot going on as far as what you had scheduled, so. We can roll that way unless you feel differently.
No, we can roll that way because we're going to be doing our 32 teams in our tourney, our simulated tournament, NCAA tournament. We have 32 teams left. We're hopefully going to narrow them down to the final four. We might be arguing over this. We're going to talk some NFL football and the free agent and who's left and where should they go. There are a lot of folks on this list, and we'll get to them maybe later, that I'm surprised that are still on the list, but some of their ages might take effect on why teams aren't really kind of picking them up, and they probably won't wait until the season starts, if it starts this season, to see what they want to do as far as picking up somebody that hasn't been picked up by somebody else after the draft. But any thoughts about the 32 teams that are in the tournament that we picked from last week?
It's going to get interesting now, because now you have to really look and you have to ask yourself, do you think there's going to be any upsets? And are you willing to take that chance? You know, how legitimate is that? That's what I like. And now you got to go deep and research.
Yeah, because we didn't pick too many. I don't think we picked too many upsets last week, which I think there probably have been a lot of upsets that we didn't see coming from the field of 68. And so I think we were really generous with the, some of the higher seeds. But let's go back to our different brackets. Let's go to the Midwest first. You have Kansas versus Marquette. And I'm going to go to you, sir. Who do you think is going to win that one?
Well, like I said earlier, in the first round, I thought Marquette would have a great game, and Howard would have a magnificent game in order to survive the first round, and I think that's where it ends. I think at this point you would have Azubuike and Dotson that would really be fired up, and they're ready to move forward to the next round.
Yeah, I don't think that even Dotson being a freshman, he didn't play like a freshman this year. He did not play like a freshman this year. And him and that combination of him and Azubuike, I don't know if Marquette could. I think those guys on the front line, the front court, would really foul out trying to handle the bigs of Kansas. And then I don't think that Howard could hang with Dotson. I mean, he's just so quick and his decision-making. Even though Howard would probably score a lot of points, I don't see them getting past this, so I have to give the nod to Kansas. Next game on tap is Auburn versus North Texas. Who you got in this one?
I just however you want to do it. Doesn't matter. You can go first.
Okay.
I
went with Auburn on this. Maybe they're feeling that tournament kind of vibe that they felt last year. And I just don't think that North Texas had enough for Auburn, so I'm going with Auburn. And I would like to see Auburn and Kansas in this, so I'm kind of biased with this. Your pick.
Yeah, I chose Auburn as well. Auburn has size, they have the talent, and they had that chip on their shoulder. And one thing they don't want to do is, unless they ran into serious foul trouble, they're so talented for that team. Five seniors and some younger players mixed in. They're on a mission, so I think they will move forward.
All right. Next game on tap in the Midwest is Iowa versus Duke. Who you got in that one?
Tough game here because, you know, Iowa has one of the best big men in the country, and Big Ten, of course. But Duke has shown signs. I mean, they're not North Carolina, but they've shown signs. And you know, Jones is playing, it might be a different ball game. So, wow. I'm going to go with Duke.
This is the one I would have gone on an upset with, because I think Iowa is tailor-made for Duke. I think they can play against Duke's zone. I think they can handle him with the guards and the big, but I don't see Duke being able to handle Iowa without being in the zone, but I think Iowa had enough to attack the zone. But I'm going to go with Duke with you on this one. But
no,
this is one
no,
of the games
no,
that
defer.
I think I would have picked
no,
the upset.
We can defer. We're going to go your way. We're going to go Iowa. We're going to
go my way?
Yep.
And I think that, to me, I think Iowa played in a better conference. They are battle-tested. They played in the Big Ten, I have to say, was the best conference in basketball this year. And I think they were more battle-tested than Duke. And Duke is just not that team where they could just take over any time. And I could see them early in the game getting in problems with Iowa, not being able to play the man-to-man, and then going to the zone, and then Iowa just picking them apart in the zone. So you don't have to change because of me.
I'm gonna defer because I mean that's why this is a democracy. You know, you see, it's like
so
you feel
why,
pretty strong.
Why would you defer against this game?
Well, I'm deferring. Now you're going to try to make the argument. Let me make the argument. I'm deferring because Duke at times is not shown to be the solid team that we're used to in the past. I mean, the last couple of years, you were expecting a lot of talent and that you expect them to take over because they had a couple of superstar players that were, you know, were NBA ready. They might have one or two this time, but they also could get in lulls and slumps and disappear. So that's why I'm deferring to you, because I think that you never know. Iowa, especially with a big man in the middle who can really play the game, they might have come up differently. In the other year, I think it would have been automatic Duke.
Yeah, yeah. Next game on tap in the Midwest, last game is Providence versus Kentucky. I'm going to defer to you. Who do you think got that game?
Providence played real hard, but I don't think this Providence team is as good as it was last year. Last year, I think they had a little bit more talent. And they play hard, but I just don't know if it's enough. I've seen them win some games, lose some games. I think I watched them play Seton Hall before, and it's back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good game. But Kentucky just has athletes, man. They have athletes, and right at the right moment, unless it's something screwy, Tyler Perry has a way to turn that switch on. And I think that switch will flip on and it'll be enough to outlast Providence.
Yeah. This would be an upset for me. This would be an upset that I would anticipate will happen. But I would have to go with Kentucky because they just have that lineup. And like I said, Providence is one of those teams this year that played everybody tough, especially at home. They were not anybody to kind of just push over to the side. But I will give Kentucky the nod. Let's go to the West. Gonzaga versus LSU. Got to go with Gonzaga on this one. Even though LSU played in a tough conference with the SEC, Gonzaga, it reminded me of that team that played North Carolina in the final. And I think they would just have too much for LSU. Your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I would go with Gonzaga as well. The number one seed also, with location where they'd be playing the game at, I think that they would really be pumped up. And they're big. They're huge. And LSU would have to come shooting lights out and play great defense. I think Gonzaga would have enough to advance.
All right. Yale against Oregon. This would be a tough game.
Ooh, I like Yale. They can keep the score low and just had real good shooting opportunities and I shot a high percentage. I would like for them to move on. But we moved them past the first round, which is a good thing. I don't think it's going to happen in the second. Oregon's very talented. They're a lot of talent, athletic, and I think they will find a way to win this game.
Okay, I agree. Love Yale, but I think Oregon wins out with the talent, and especially playing in the bracket they are at a location. Indiana versus Seton Hall. I'm going to go with Seton Hall. I've been riding them all year. And the combination of McKnight and Miles Powell, I have to think that they have a little bit too much. But what I started noticing, I think I said this last week too, is that Seton Hall had other players who stepped up because Miles Powell wasn't always there on the court. And those players were able to step up and win them games. And so they're playing pretty good towards the end of the season, so I'm going with Seton Hall. Your thoughts?
We're going to have a little discussion about this one. Because early on, as we know, Indiana had a tough schedule. And Indiana played some very good teams, and they beat some very good teams. Near the end of the year, they kind of let you down a little bit, thought they would do more. But when you look at their resume, and I like Seton Hall, but Indiana, I watched them play Ohio State near the end of the year, and they just handled Ohio State. They handled them. And you thought Ohio State would kind of run with them. But, we go down that road of them defeating Florida State, teams like that, beat Ohio State. They beat Ohio State, the first time, lost the second time. And they just play a lot of good teams, Indiana did. And with that being said, I'd have to go with Indiana. I just think the talent the talent is going to be right there. And they find ways to get up. They have a couple guys that can maybe go to the next level. And I like Seton Hall. I do, but I just don't think it's that Seton Hall team that we like to think they are or rooting for, you know, in the last couple of years. So that's going to be an issue for me. It's going to be a major issue for me. So
you're going with Indiana?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm going to give you Indiana because here's why I'm giving it to you. Big Ten is best conference, but one of the things that I the reason why I voted against, because Indiana probably weren't a team that's supposed to be in the tournament, and Seton Hall kind of plays hot and cold at times, and maybe, just maybe, they could be upset, but if it wasn't this game, it would probably be the next game with Seton Hall. Texas Tech versus San Diego State. Did I go first or you go first last time?
I think I went first.
Oh,
it's
I went
your
first,
turn.
So you go first.
Okay.
Picking Texas Tech in an upset against San Diego State. Texas Tech, you right with me on that one? Okay. Because San Diego, I think, peaked too soon in the season. They peaked too soon in the season. They won their conference with 25 games. And it seemed like they got the big head. They were waiting for the tournament to start. And they just didn't look like that team they were at the end of the season that were ranked in the top four. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I won't say that they peaked too early. They just played the games that they could in their conference. So with that being said, you just play who you can. And it's kind of like, you know, we'll talk about this later, the Dayton Flyers went 18-0 in their conference. Some people are getting on me about that, why I don't think, anyway. But, so Texas Tech defeated Louisville when they were number one in the country. They beat them by 13.
Right.
You know, right. That was impressive. They won some other games, too, that were impressive. They beat Iowa State. They lost to Kentucky by two. They beat West Virginia. Lost to Kansas by three. So they battle. They're battle-tested, and they come in at it, even though, you know, they lost by Kansas at the end of the season by four. So this is one of the best teams in the country. I think that their defense and way that they get after it would be overbearing for a team like San Diego State that really has not really had any true experience in the tournament. And I think that would allow Texas Tech to propel past them.
Yeah, and Texas Tech should have beat Kansas in that game. They should have beat there. I mean, they had Kansas. Let's take a break, come back, and get the East region and the South region. This is the Goon Squad Sports Radio Podcast. March Madness. We're just fiends for college basketball. So if a champion hasn't been crowned, we're going to crown one. And we're going to justify it. So we're going to the East region. Of course, Dayton is in the East region, and they're playing Florida. And so I'll let you go on this one. Who do you think is going to win against Dayton and Florida?
Well, I think this is a good test for Dayton. But I like the work they're playing. They're playing with momentum. Florida's been up and down. And the way that Dayton goes after opponents, I think that tenacity and with another point to prove will allow them to get past Florida.
Yeah, I'm picking Dayton also to get by in that second round. I know that if we were playing these games for real, they would be hyping Obi Toppin all over the place, and maybe he's just a little bit too much for Florida. Next game on tap is Butler versus Maryland. I'm going to go with Maryland in this one, even though I like Butler. I think I'm going to go with Maryland on this one. Who you got?
Wow. I was hoping you wouldn't say that, but you did.
Even though Butler is the number four seed and Maryland's number three seed, I just couldn't see an upset right there.
Well, I don't think people give Butler credit for what they've done over the season. I've had a chance to witness Maryland. Maryland's up and down. They have great players. They have a couple perhaps future pros. But they've shown to be a little bit shaky at times. You expect them to win, and those stars step up, and they don't. And, I don't know that, but the resume of Butler just kind of gets me. They beat Minnesota. They beat Florida. They beat Missouri. They beat Purdue. Beat St. John's twice. They beat Creighton. Beat Providence. Beat Marquette. Beat Georgetown. Beat DePaul. And they lost to Seton Hall twice, close. That's a hell of a resume, what I just said to you. Lost to Baylor by one. And I think Butler can, the way they play basketball, they come after you. And I think that Maryland would perhaps be coming with that nonchalant attitude. We're supposed to beat them, and we're the better team, we're better skilled. And the basics of basketball, I think, would do them in, and Butler would advance.
Okay, well, I could be convinced. So you going with Butler?
Yeah, I think you heard me. I was ready for you on that one. I was like, he goes this way. You're more with
Butler. Yeah, no.
I named some of your teams, too. Creighton, Providence.
Yeah, you named some of my teams. You convinced me.
DePaul.
Yeah. And I keep thinking Maryland's still in the ACC. They're not in the ACC anymore. Okay. Next game on tap is a Big Ten team against a Big East team. You have Penn State versus Villanova. And I'm going to let you choose on that one first. I know who I got right off the bat.
Yeah, I know who that is. I'm not questioning. Penn State is – I like Penn State's team. They play with a lot of heart. The problem is I don't think they were consistent enough off and on. And the reason why I point to that is I remember them playing Ohio State earlier in the year on the road. And they got blasted by like 14. They came back later on at home and shellacked Ohio State. But the lack of inconsistency would be a problem for me, which is why I'm going to choose Villanova. I like the coach. I like the way he puts things together. They usually always have somebody over there that can really play. And I think that would be enough to get past Penn State.
Yeah, I agree. I went with Villanova, too. They don't rebuild. They recharge, and they come back. And the coach is really, really a great coach and knows how to get the most out of his players. So even though Penn State had a great season in the Big Ten, I don't think they can get past this one. Here's one. West Virginia versus Florida State. I'm going to go with Florida State. They're the conference winners of the ACC. But you know how I feel about Florida State. It's like one game they're playing like they could just win it all. And then another game you can look at them and go, where these guys come from or where their head's at. But I'm going to go with Florida State over West Virginia. Even though West Virginia plays in that Big 12, that tough Big 12 conference, I'll give the nod to Florida State. What say you, sir?
You don't have to. You know that, right? You don't have to. It's okay. You don't have to say Florida State. If you feel that strong conviction, by all means, choose West Virginia. But Florida State, you know, I always say that my biggest issue a little bit may be with Leonard Hamilton and not having the ability to, or whatever reason, it may not be him, maybe just chemistry or lack thereof, why they are not able to get closer, like that Final Four and playing the championship game, because they're always loaded athletically. Again, I don't know how there's like no run on 7-footers, and all of a sudden Leonard Hamilton and Florida State has 3 7-footers on his roster. I'm like, how does that happen? Every year, he goes to Africa, he goes to the Netherlands, but he got 3 7-footers always. But they're always athletic. They have great guard play. They always find ways to get things done, and they do it in a very fun fashion, the way to play the game. And with that being said, I think that it would. West Virginia wants to make it ugly. Florida State can play that way too.
Yeah.
They're so big and strong, and then they're very aggressive on defense. They take chances, and I think that would be the undoing of West Virginia. So I would choose Florida State as well.
The problem I have, and I need to clarify my statement against, you know how I feel about Florida State. I like Florida State, and we've been riding them for a couple of years. I know you have. But what bothers me about Florida State is the coach being outcoached in certain games. And it's like that just Hamilton will get to a certain point, and just like you said, and he gets outcoached, and you're like, they're the best team on the floor, but why aren't they playing like the best team on the floor? And I have to go with the coaching. I mean, I just have to. But I'm going to ride with them on this one. We have the first eight of our Sweet 16. We have actually 12. We got 4 more games. We're going to the South. And Baylor versus Rutgers. And I'll let you choose this one.
Oh, you gonna let me choose that one, huh? Okay.
Yeah, it's not a hard one, is it?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, Baylor's a very good team. I watch Baylor. Baylor play tough. Baylor brings it. They have a lot. They have size. They have speed. But they've been known to kind of fall down a little bit. You know, they don't have that tenacity all the time. And that's what Rutgers lives off of. Rutgers will beat a lot of teams that didn't see them coming. But still, I'm going to go with Baylor because I think overall they're a very good team. And them losing and not winning like they wanted to early on against some more higher caliber teams is going to be motivation. But I like Rutgers. I like their fight. I like the way they go after it, led by Ron Harper Jr.
Mm-hmm. I have to go with Baylor too. I think Baylor is going to get. They're going to get in this tournament. They were trying to redeem themselves from losing to Kansas, and kind of faltering at the end, and looking for new life in this tournament. So I'm going to move them right on into the Sweet 16. This is going to be a tough one for you. I'll choose this one: Ohio State and Louisville. Now, there's one of these teams that I don't trust the coach, but he has the most talent. So I'm going with Louisville on this one, but I wouldn't have been surprised if Ohio State would have upset Louisville in this tournament. Your choice.
Well, I've been considered a homer in a number of ways. An Ohio State homer, I've been considered a Dayton homer if you don't know me. But I think watching these teams, the Ohio State, when they have a good defensive day and they play clamped down defense, they play well. But their issue is they're limited on consistent scoring. And that's when DJ Carton being there hurt them. You have the Wesson brothers, they play well. DJ Washington's coming on a little bit. But they get in lulls. And they're athletic as hell. And I like the way Chris Holtman coaches them. But it's just something missing. And unless Louisville just has a bad shooting night. You know, with so many Enoch, so many others, Johnson, the young freshman, they're so athletic and they just get up and down and they love to run. They love to go out and do that alley-oop, high-flying basketball. You blow your nose and turn your head after full-court pressure a couple times, you're down by 12. So I'm an Ohio State alumnus that has nothing to do with this my analysis. So I'm choosing Louisville to move forward.
All right. This is going to be a tough one, especially for me. Virginia versus Michigan State. Who you got?
Well, you know, I had to take a look at Virginia's schedule. And you looked at their schedule, I'm saying to myself, how good is this team? Virginia has they have elements of the team from last year. But I had to remind myself, it's not last. It's not last year's team. And the way that and they played, they beat some good teams because they're fundamentally sound. I like the way that they play. But the way that Michigan State was coming on in the last few weeks of the season and starting to look like that team everybody thought they should be, especially with great guard play. So at the point, I think that they were they'd be enough to get past Virginia.
Ooh. You know what? I've been saying it for weeks. I was falling in love with Michigan State, but not in this game. I would think that Virginia would slow it down and grind it out against Michigan State and frustrate them so much, especially Cassius Winston, to frustrate them so much that they would come out this game like 56-52 or something like that. To frustrate their front line, frustrate their backcourt the way they could. But I'm going to stay consistent with what I've been saying all week. And since you pick Michigan State, I'm going to go with Michigan State too. But I think this would be a game where Virginia could frustrate Michigan State, frustrate Tom Izzo, and just give them the flux and just put a stop to them right in this game. But we'll go with Michigan State on this one.
Let me throw one other thing.
Go ahead.
All right. I appreciate you giving it to Michigan State. But my only other thing, too, in looking at this, realizing that this is not Virginia from last year, they won the championship last year. And it would take a hard-nosed team to kind of shut them down. And Michigan State would be the team to do that. I don't. If Virginia was hungry like they were last year and not won a championship, like they were playing last year and still trying to get there, I could almost go with you and see your point. But the way that Michigan State was coming at it, there was no lulls. I watched them literally.
Yeah.
And they came off a great win prior to the, the playing them on the road, and they manhandled them. They just took them to the bridge and handled them. So that's why I said I think Michigan State would get by Virginia.
See, this is the one that I played the Jedi mind trick. I would have had Black pick in Michigan State all the way to the Final Four, and I would have put this monkey wrench. See how I set that up? See how I'm setting it up this year for him? Because I know he'd be listening. I know he'd be listening.
Black Door would have been like, I saw you, Puma. This is not last year.
Because remember, years ago, he used to always pick Virginia. And then last year, he didn't even pick Virginia. He did. And so I didn't expect him to go back to Virginia. So, yeah, this would have been, this would have been a bracket buster right here. Next game in the South, the last game in the South is Illinois versus Creighton. Oh, is it my turn? I would have to go. You know, I'm going to give Illinois a nod on this one. I'm going to give Illinois a nod on this one. I'm going to give an upset against Creighton. Your thoughts?
Tell me why.
Because Illinois had a great season. They played real tough. They really kind of battled in the Big Ten. And I don't think, to me, honestly, that the Big East had the competition that the Big Ten had. And so if it's a matter of toughness, I would go with Illinois over Creighton.
Wow.
But I could be persuaded. Give me the numbers, sir.
Oh, man. It's tough because I like Illinois. I like the way that they played. I think they're on the right track. I think their coach is moving forward. But Creighton has been into some very difficult, deep waters, and they found ways to win. And I'm sitting there going like, are you kidding me? How did you guys do this? And granted, it was tough to get through it, but they got it done. And I think they would be able to get past Illinois because Illinois is one of them teams that depends on what week you catch them. They're good, but they can also break your back and hurt you if you buy too much into them.
Yeah.
I'm going to just say this. Looking at Creighton, when I looked at Creighton's schedule, and you will love this because these are some of your teams that you would enjoy watching over the years or over the years this year. They have victories over DePaul, Xavier. They beat Providence. They beat Villanova. They beat Seton Hall twice.
Yep.
They beat Marquette.
Yeah.
They beat Butler. And they beat Texas Tech. Man.
Yep.
I don't know if that don't speak to you.
Yeah, it does. I'm writing Creighton down right now. Let's take a break. We got our Sweet 16. We're going to narrow it down to the Final Four. This is the Goon Squad Sports Radio Podcast. Stay tuned.
She's here, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, thank you very much. Granny, they're expecting you. You're a little late, so come right this way. Come right in, okay?
What? Say it now.
Yes.
Say it now. Yes. Me and the Ohio Players gonna tell you about a worm. He's the funkiest worm in the world. Okay, say it, fellas.
There's a worm in the ground, yes it is.
That's yeah. Right.
Back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Podcast. We're narrowing down our simulated NCAA basketball tournament, and we have the Final 16. We're going to go back to the Midwest, man, and you have Kansas versus Auburn in this bracket. Who you got?
Wow. Talent-wise, I think Auburn has the ability. I really do. But they've let us down, let me down, let themselves down, I guess, a little bit. They have not always come to the party strong. And I think it's the year of Azubuike and Dotson, man. I do, right now.
Oh, wow.
I think they've pretty strong. I think it would be, I wouldn't say it's two guys against eight, but Auburn would have to play it to their potential, which they can. This is a great, this might be one of the great. This, to me right now, on paper, what we're looking at so far, this is the best matchup so far in this tournament we looked at. So it won't be easy, but I'm going to go with Kansas. I'm going to roll. I've been riding with Azubuike. I'm going to stay on that horse. Ride with
I would have gone with Auburn in this one. I would have gone with Auburn in this one because one of the things that bothered me about Kansas is that If they could be tough outside of their conference, if another team came and hit them in the mouth, could they still fight and hit back? And Auburn's been there last year, and I always thought that they had an axe to grind, and I would have picked the upset on this. But I'm going to go with Azubuike and Dotson on this.
We can go. You want to go Auburn? It's your turn. We can go Auburn if you feel that strong.
No. Because you were right. Auburn has let us down. They have let us down in the past, and it's not the team from last year. Even though they had an axe to grind, they don't have the point guard they had last year. They do have players that they had from last year, but I like the combination of Dotson and Azubuike. So I'm going to go with Kansas on this one.
Well, give me 1 second before you lock it down. All right, let me look at one thing.
Okay.
Let me look one thing. They beat, they lost to late. Auburn lost to Kentucky, lost to Texas A&M. They beat Tennessee twice. Lost to Missouri, lost to Georgia. Beat LSU, beat Kentucky early. So they ran off 1, 2, 3, 4. They were 15-0 before they lost their first game.
Yeah.
15. Then they lost after that. They lost 1, 2, 3, 4. They lost 6 games.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have been it. Even lost to Texas A&M. He just didn't play the way they were capable. So that's why I was choosing Kansas. So, all right, I'm going to roll with Kansas.
You're right. Next game on tap is Kentucky versus Iowa. Hate to go with another blue blood, but got to go with Kentucky. Got to go with Kentucky over Iowa, even though Iowa played strong this year. Got to go with Kentucky. How about yourself?
No doubt. no doubt. Like I said, the thing about it is the years that you swear Kentucky is, you're questioning yourself as to whether or not they're any good and why they're not playing up to their potential is the year that John Calipari smacks you in the mouth. So he says you can keep the regular season, and then all of a sudden that team will get hot. I don't know what he tells them. You want to make some money, you better play your butt off or whatever he tells them prior to the tournament. But this is the type of team where they will grind. And the thing about them, they have good guards, solid guards, and they have size too. They're your worst nightmare, and they have people coming off the bench. So if he can turn that around, that's why he screams at them the whole time, and they finally get it around this time of year. So I think they will find it in the especially if they play. Duke might be a little troubling because you had two great minds in basketball going at each other. But since we chose Iowa, I don't think that the talent of Iowa, the one-man band, could hang with Kentucky.
Yeah, but if Duke would have got there, I think Duke would have gave Kentucky problems because Kentucky sometimes struggled against the zone. And Duke, every time this year, when they got in trouble, they went to that zone. And they even if they're down 10, 15, when they went to that zone, it seemed like it put a chokehold on the other team scoring, and then they were able to score at will. So it would have been interesting to see how that would have played out. Dayton versus Butler. Who you got in this one?
Wow. You would do this, wouldn't you?
Notice I put you first.
Yeah, I know.
Not gonna have to be one Ohio mad at me.
Yeah, it's all good though. Whew. I had a chance to think about this.
Two
I didn't
like.
Right,
Two teams you like.
Yeah.
These are two teams you
I
like.
I had to look at it, and I had to really look at it to see what comes first, the chicken or the egg. Anyway. Dayton is solid. Again, like I said, 18-0 in their conference, 29-2. They finished four games ahead of the second best team in their conference. Richmond was 24-7. But for me, you know, they played well against Kansas. They lost by 6 in overtime in the Bahamas tournament. But in that conference, only 5 teams won 20 games or more.
Mm-hmm.
It was 18 games. Only 5 teams won 20 or more, including Dayton. With that being said, I already ran off to you earlier what Butler had accomplished. The reason why I'm picking Butler in this game, and I'm going to say it, so people can be mad for me. On the boom, it's all good.
You're beating around the bushes a little bit. I was waiting.
Yeah. The reason why I'm choosing Butler is because Butler matches up well. They played that nasty game, and that's what it's going to take to beat Dayton. Dayton is carefree. They dominate. They got Obi Toppin in there in the middle, and he dominates, and everybody else kind of follows along. But the thing about Butler is they've been playing. It's like Butler is like those old Indiana high school Hoosier basketball teams. They pass, shoot, run, do this, move the ball around. All they do is change coaches. They had the same type players.
Yeah.
You look back to Thad Mata. You look at Stevens, who's at Boston now. You had Holtman, who's now over at Ohio State, and now they have the coach over there presently. They have the same style, you know, similar to what has been played done over at Xavier, and they get after it. And the fact that Dayton would be a number one seed, they would love nothing more than the stop. Then this is where that number one seed start thinking about things. I think starts to creep in with Dayton. No disrespect to the talent, they earned everything they got everything they earned everything they had they deserved they got, but every award, but it's gonna be a tough one to come out of here just dogfight. See Butler advances.
Yeah, I would have loved to see a matchup against Dayton and Kansas again, but I don't think that happens right here. I think it gets stopped by Butler. I would have even picked, if Maryland was in there, I would have picked Maryland to stop Dayton at this particular point.
Ooh.
And I love Dayton.
I said it from
the beginning of the season. I loved them.
Hey, see, I would have flipped that. Dayton played Maryland. I chose Dayton.
Yeah.
Because they had that dog in them. But Butler has no fear. I mean, like I told you, when you look at their resume, they'll play anybody. They don't care Florida, lost to Baylor, St. John's twice, Providence, Marquette, DePaul, Georgetown. Those are all your Big East teams or former Big East teams, Seton Hall. They bring it, man. And they've been known to play tough teams, a la Villanova when they won the national championship. They beat them back then. Butler's tough, man.
All right. Butler's tough. Yeah, yeah. Next game on tap, Villanova versus Florida State.
Wow. You go,
bruh. I'm going to have to go with the upset with Florida. I mean, Villanova, bruh. I'm going to have to go. Convince me that I'm wrong on this one. Come on.
Ooh, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard on that one because I see where you're going. And Florida State is prone to lose this game. Villanova plays tough. They play that old school East Coast basketball. Florida State would have to have tremendous play. Everybody would have to play well for this game because this is one of those games that their turnovers, and lack of discipline at times could kill them. As you know, coach over at Villanova is going to have his team ready. So as much as it may pain me, I'm going to roll with you. We're going to roll with Villanova on this one.
What?
Give it up. I'm off the chain a little bit, but I'm not crazy. I'm going to pay attention to reason.
All right. Let's go to the West, Gonzaga versus Oregon. Who you got?
Like Oregon, but I like the size of Gonzaga. I just do. I like the size of Gonzaga, and they keep playing the way that they have been playing all year. I think they had a little setback early on, but once they turned the corner, then things start coming together for them, and they're so talented, and they play well together. That's one thing about Gonzaga. They try to take care of the ball. Their Coach Fuse over there is trying to always have them on their mindset on playing good defense, and I think they would advance. So, Gonzaga.
All right. Next game on tap is Indiana versus Texas Tech. Oh, I'm going with Gonzaga, too. Number one seed. I think this is a game where they shut down all the critics are saying, hey, they don't play in a strong conference, and they get the Pac-12 in there and just run away with it with Oregon. So I'm going with Gonzaga. Next game on tap, Indiana versus Texas Tech. All right. This is usually the time where the Big Ten starts bowing out with some of their teams. So I'm going to go with Texas Tech on this one.
I'm going to follow you, if I'm not mistaken. Texas Tech in their conference, I think they held their opponents to like 42% shooting from the field, field, which is very impressive. The whole team. So I think this would be a down and dirty team, a nasty game, should I say. I was able to grab Indiana and push them through past your beloved Seton Hall, but I think Texas Tech is nasty. Makes this nasty and it's going to be an ugly game. The inexperience of Indiana will come out, and I think Texas Tech will win.
All right. Let's go down to the South. We got Baylor versus Louisville. Who you got?
I know what you're going to go with. I know where your mind is set is going. But I'm going to look back at Baylor. I looked at Baylor, and I thought about when they had a must win. A game I thought was a must win, and they came up short against another big man. And somebody likes to get out and run just like they do. So unless the Cardinals collapse, I'm going to go with Louisville to advance.
You know? I would have went with Baylor. I would have went with Baylor with this one. Well, I'm going to ride with Louisville because I don't know if they're going to get any farther than this once they get past Baylor. With this one, Michigan State versus Creighton. Even though you made a great pitch for Creighton in the last game they had, I got to go with Michigan State with this one. Who's your pick?
No, I got that. I mean, that's where I think the coaching comes into play, particularly in this game, because they're feeling heated right now, Michigan State that is. So I think they keep rolling over Creighton because I think it's the size of the game, unless they come up with some phenomenal shooting or start to play a part and get to them. So the experience of Tom Izzo would put the Spartans over on top, I think, in this game.
All right, we got the Elite Eight here. Let's get down to the Final Four. Let's go back to the Midwest. You have Kansas versus Kentucky. Who you got, bro?
Wow, tough game. Great game, though, too, because Kentucky's going to bring in and play real hard, and they got a lot of players. But despite all of the drama and head trauma and allegations and Selfgate and Snoop Dogg, sometimes teams like that rise out of the ashes. And I think Jayhawk, Rock Talk Jayhawk, is going to make it through. I'm going with Kansas.
All right, let's go to the West. Gonzaga versus Texas Tech.
Wait a minute. You ain't got nothing to say about that?
Oh, yeah. I'm picking Kansas, too. I'm sorry. I'm picking Kansas,
okay.
too. love what Kentucky has been able to do this year, but I got to go with Kansas. All right, Gonzaga versus Texas Tech. Got to go with Gonzaga, the number one seed, facing another number one seed in Kansas. This is a matchup I want to see because Gonzaga has some big men, and they could use they could use a big man against Azubuike and get him in a lot of foul trouble. They're not going to let that paint just be free and open for alley-oops and pick and roll. So that should be a good matchup. Who you got?
Are we going down or are we just going here? Which one? What are we doing? Are we doing Gonzaga?
I went from the Midwest to the West. So Gonzaga versus Texas Tech.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I would go with Gonzaga. Texas Tech had a nice little run to get this far. They beat Seton Hall, then they also beat Indiana. That's great. But I think, like you said, the talent and the size would be too much for them. They would outweigh because now the team starts to the talent starts to show itself a little better, and it kind of outweighs. You just can't keep up with them. And I think Gonzaga would advance. I agree.
Yeah, that would be a great matchup for the number ones to go against each other. And so now you have Butler versus Villanova. Who you got?
Wow. Woo! Tough game.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if – I know I'm sticking my neck out, but it happens that way. I'm going to go with Butler.
Woo!
Butler. You why? Villanova – would beat Penn State, which would be a tough game. Then they'd have to beat Florida State. And if they came out of that alive, if they did, then they got to face another team like this and Butler. And they made a run before. So, I'm not going to ride that train. I mean, they might surprise me, but I don't think this is a Villanova team that wins the national championship. So I'm going to clip them at the heel.
How many – because Villanova and Butler played this year. Who won that series?
I will tell you here in a minute.
Because whoever won that series, I got to go with.
Probably was Villanova. Let me see. I'll tell you here in a minute.
Yeah, because
–
You know, they're both in the Big East.
Right. I'm almost certain it's probably Villanova because I would have called that out if I thought that they were at B Villanova. I'll tell you what the scores are as soon as I can find this. Big East. Where am I? Okay. Let's see. Schedule. Let's see. Okay, Villanova beat them the first time. They beat them first time by 13. Second time, Villanova beat them by 3.
Yeah, that's what I know that sometimes when you play a team, it's hard to beat them that third time. But if Villanova has the strategy to beat them, then I can't see them beating them in a big game like this.
Okay, so you going Villanova?
So it's on you.
No, I asked, did you say Villanova?
I'm going with Villanova because I remember them beating, I don't know how much they beat them by, but I remember Butler could not get past Villanova.
Okay, we'll go with Villanova then. It's a wrap.
All right. All right, and the last game to get our final four is, this is going to be a big one for you. Louisville versus Michigan State.
Oh, my goodness. You want to go first?
I'll go first. I'm going with Michigan State on this because I don't trust Louisville's coach in big games. I've seen him coach against the Duke. I've seen him coach and have the game won, and then the other team wins. I can't bank. If I had money, I couldn't put money on Louisville on this game right here because of their coach. I love their players. I love that they can get up and down the court. But I cannot bank on that coach. He freezes at the wrong time, and this will be the wrong time trying to get into the Final Four.
Wow.
But I could be persuaded.
Well, the main thing I'm looking at now, Michigan State, like I told you, they made a run. They, at one point, they were losing games left and right, and then they ended up being 17-9, right? Then they won the next five games. They beat Nebraska. They beat Iowa, number ranked Maryland. They beat Penn State, and they beat Ohio State. They won five straight games near the end. I mean, they probably would have won two more games at least in the Big Ten tournament. So they won like 24 games. So they almost would have been at 28 games. Wow. At that, I was just looking. At the end, the guard play and the experience is going to be enough to get Michigan State over. Yeah, as much as I hate to give it to Louisville, I think they might be a year away, but they'll probably lose some key players. But don't give up on that coach just yet. But I'm going to go with you on Michigan State. Hurts my heart.
All right. So we got to the Final Four, and our Final Four is – Gonzaga versus Kansas, and Villanova versus Michigan State. I think we did a great job. We convinced each other on different battles, but I think this is a nice Final Four setup here. We will talk about the Final Four next week. Let's talk some NFL football when we get back. This is the Goon Squad Sports Radio Podcast. To the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. We're going to talk some NFL free agents, and we were saying this in the first 40 that the NFL still is making news. Even though all the sports have been postponed or canceled, the NFL doesn't, like the honey badger, just don't give a whatever. We're going to talk about some free agents that were signed and some of them that weren't signed. And I'm going to start off. I know we talked about the quarterbacks, but there are some quarterbacks like Matt Moore, Joe Webb, Geno Smith, Flacco's not signed, and Josh McNown is not signed. Of course, Cam Newton and Winston are not signed. And, any other surprises when we talk about quarterbacks who are not signed in the NFL at this particular point? And what are teams waiting for?
I think, one, you have to think about what they're waiting for. They're waiting to see what's going to happen in the draft, to see who plays where. So why sign a guy right now when things can change in the draft and somebody falls to you? Somebody like a Love, the kid out of Utah State. If he falls, you never know what people can do. So instead of banking all your money, unless you know it's somebody that you really want, why would you just jump ahead of the gun and wait to see how things play out in the draft? Because some of these guys that you mentioned that may have not gotten signed yet, they probably will be around still after the draft.
Yeah, I don't see anybody signing Blake Bortles. He's one of the guys to not sign. Brendan Allen, he's, both of them are about 27 years old. And Geno Smith, I think he's probably not going to be on the NFL roster unless the team is really, really have kind of lost out in the quarterback sweepstakes. I was listening to Tua earlier today on ESPN, and he was talking like there might be some other teams that are trying to make a play to get him. So he didn't want to give out who he was talking to via Skype or whatever, but it might be some shakeup that Miami might say, hey, you know what, we have a number one first-round pick quarterback, and going with Tua, we're really not really comfortable with his health. And so another team might sneak up within the 32 teams and try to get Tua. But that's really to be seen. We'll see it in the draft a little bit later on. Running backs, we're going to Ty Gurley, of course. He signed a one-year deal with Atlanta. Devontae Freeman, who was with Atlanta, and he's out there, and he doesn't have a team. You have Lamar Miller. You have Ty Montgomery. You have Frank Gore, who's 36 years old. I'm thinking teams are going to wait around to see whether or not they can use him. You have Corey Clement. You have a lot of unsigned running backs. Who is the surprising unsigned running back that is a free agent on this list that you see?
He doesn't surprise me, but I think he will probably end up finding a job. Two guys on here, and it sounds crazy because they're becoming elder statesmen. Carlos Hyde, you'll find some work on there. Also, the indestructible Frank Gore at 36. Frank Gore is going to end up playing football. That's what he does. He'll bring his umbrella with him, but he'll find something to always find a way to get through. Also, too, waiting to see, and they'll probably just bring you back, but I guess there's no hurry to see Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, I was looking at him at the list. You think Seattle will bring him back?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? I mean, seriously, if he's just going to be around and you just give him the ball, he doesn't have to be the feature back, but he can help you when you need it. And I think he'll like it, the fact that he doesn't need a bunch of carries. So I think he likes being with the guys, too. He is Seattle.
Yeah. And you got McCoy, Shady McCoy, who's out there, Devontae Booker. You have Isaiah Carwell. It seems like the closer you get to 30, teams just don't use you anymore because a lot of these guys are 25 and over. And I remember the Bears, they let go. If you were close to 30, they were letting you go because they were like, you know, you're not that effective as a running back once you get in, about 27, 28, or 29, unless you're one of these Hall of Fame running backs. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I can see that. But you mentioned a player, and I watched him because of fantasy. And I think that somebody like Chicago would be good to look into even as a second or third string guy. That's Devontae Booker because he was in Denver, correct?
Yeah.
Backing up Philip Lindsay. And Lindsay played well, but then there was times he was hurt, and Booker went in there, and he made plays. So if I was Chicago, I'd take a flyer on him. They have nothing to lose. They still are trying to find out how to get a solid running game. And he's young enough at 27, and he's been around a few places. But Booker, I think, could help him out if they could actually have a line that would block for him. And him being like maybe if he could win that job, I think he would surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, Yeah. And looking at fullbacks, all three of those fullbacks, I don't even know if NFL – I didn't even know they have fullbacks anymore because they rarely use them. But all three of the fullbacks, you had Anthony Sherman, Derek Watt, and Keith Smith, they all signed or were re-signed by their teams. I think Derek Watt, who is one of the Watt brothers, he signed with Pittsburgh. So two of the Watt brothers are playing in Pittsburgh right now. Wouldn't it be something if they can get J.J. over there playing that defensive line? They sure as hell need him. But anyway, you have – the only one that haven't been signed is Roosevelt Nix, but everybody else is signed. You have Dan Vitale signed with New England. You have Mike Burton, who signed with New Orleans. But out of the six fullbacks that are out there, five of them are signed. So Nix will probably find someplace. Let's look at the receivers now. Either most of these folks are re-signed or they put the franchise tag on them. The situation with A.J. Green, man, Cincinnati putting the franchise tag on him, he just came out verbally and said, I don't want to play here. Trade me. How do you think that's going to kind of pan out with Cincinnati, being in it with a team that, hey, I just don't like being here? Will it take bringing in the new star quarterback from LSU to kind of say, hey, I know how you feel, but give me a chance and we could do this? Or does Green say, hey, I don't want to play for a rookie quarterback?
Well, I mean, I'm sure he's going to say he doesn't want to play for a rookie quarterback because he had almost the whole season just to watch and see what was going on and the direction they were going under this new coach. He played a certain way under Marvin Lewis, and Marvin Lewis kind of let him do whatever, right? So this might be different. Mm-hmm. Or he'll say that now, but when you're under contract, as Black Thor said, you can get out there and play. When you're under contract, and you should be a man and get out there and play because that's what the contract calls for.
Yeah, stop whining. Yeah, but
yeah, be a man. Man up. considering that they did, they did have that happen. I'm sure too that when they were talking to Burrow, the potential first round pick, their almost guaranteed pick, that he probably asked about A.J. Green. And he probably said, you know, I really would like to play with him. And even though I don't know how it's going to work out, but if he's on the team, I would feel a little better, a lot better. Because other than that, they have a few other guys on there. But if he's healthy, A.J. Green still is one of the best players, best receivers in the league. So despite his feelings, he still want to get paid. He'll show up on Sunday.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the same trend with the wide receivers. If you're around that, it's not too many guys that are at that 30 mark that are getting signed, unless you're an outstanding player. And then you see a guy like, there was a guy who's like 24 years old, Marcus Kemp, who's 24 and not signed yet. So Austin Carr is 26, who's not signed yet. But some of the players that you see, they're 29, Ryan Grant, Demarius Thomas, 32. Dontrell Eiman, who's 31. It's like the older you get, the more teams are kind of saying, you know what, we want a younger product. And you got Dwayne Harris, Chris Hogan, they're 32 years old. So some of the younger receivers are getting the nod. And if you're really not a receiver that has built a good name for yourself, if you're at that 30 and over mark, you might not get signed. That's why I was surprised that the Bears picked up Jimmy Graham, who's about 33 years old, and gave him a two-year, $16 million contract. Jason Witten is 37, and they got a one-year deal with Las Vegas. So some of the other receivers that stand out to you on this list?
Well, you mentioned a couple of them. I don't know what he can do for somebody, and he might not only be in the slot, but I just feel like the way that they were playing their offense, if you put him in the fourth receiver, kind of like a la, what is my buddy's name, over in Kansas City. What's the wide receiver that caught the ball late in the game that I love? He used to play for Buffalo.
No, Sammy Watkins.
Yeah. Somebody like that. He may not have the same speed, but I think Ted Ginn is still serviceable. I really believe that.
Yes,
in the right
scenario.
Yeah, one-on-one type. He's not going to break any, you know, not win the dashes or anything, but I think he still could be very serviceable. Imagine him as a third or fourth slot, or even the fourth receiver on your team. And when you need that bailout, you know he's going to catch the ball and he can still run. So, Tay Ginn, there's one definitely a guy to look at.
Yeah, I looked at – I'm looking at who was signed by Atlanta, Laquan Treadwell, who's an absolute stud at Mississippi. And his stock just went down. He's making about $910 for a one-year deal with Atlanta. Just wondering why his stock went down. He's only 24 years old because he was an absolute stud that a lot of people were salivating on during the draft, I think in 2016. But – or 2017, but he's just really kind of slowed down. Let's look at the tight ends. And tight end is, to me, is the unsung hero of the offense, because here you can get a guy who can block and also go out there, catch a ball, and get you some yards, some much tough needed yards. I said Jason Witten and Jimmy Graham just got picked up. You know, I don't know about the ages of these guys, but who kind of stands out as one of the tight ends that teams should be looking at to kind of sign on their team?
Well, let's see here.
Because I'm looking at Jordan Reed. I think he's a good tight end that could be serviceable to a lot of folks. Greg Olsen just signed a one-year deal with Seattle. I think that's going to be a great pickup. Pittsburgh got Eric Ebron from the Colts, which I think is a great pickup. He's 26 years old, great pickup. But you got Greg Olsen, maybe a one-year deal is good for him, 35 years old, close to retirement. But Jordan Reed, I think who was from Washington, I think could be a good pickup for somebody.
Yeah, well, he's very injury-prone. He's had a lot of injuries, and particularly his injuries, some of them dealt with his neck, which is never a good thing. So I think that's what's making people look iffy. I was surprised, though, that saw here where Tyler Eifert, the former Bengals tight end, got signed a two-year deal with Jacksonville. Wow. He must just wanted to go to court and go home. But saw that. that was interesting there to watch how that went. And Mercedes Lewis signed with Green Bay, 35 years old. Like, wow. It just shows you what their mindset is. I mean, I couldn't believe that. I'm sitting there like, 35 years old, you need something. But I don't know. I guess that's the way that it goes. So we will see how it plays out the rest of the way with these guys, because you still need guys that can still make plays, and that's the key.
Yeah. Not to say that these guys aren't important, but time is escaping us, but you have the offensive tackles, and there are a few notable folks that were signed, and that is a premium. That should be the most important, the stable of your offense is the offensive line. There are a lot of guys that are over that threshold age of 30 who some of them are getting jobs. Donald Penn is a guy who's 36 years old, who's out there as a free agent that I believe played with the Raiders, and then he played with Washington. But don't know if he'll get another nod from another team. Any thoughts about the offensive lineman, the offensive tackle?
Yeah, the offensive guys that got me, the offensive tackle, interior line. The Steelers signing Steve Wisniewski, and two-year deal, 2.8. I think that they need to shore up their offensive line with Big Ben coming back and any all the help they can get, put some things back in order. And that was a great pickup from them. Who else in here? Bum, 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 bum. Also, Detroit trying to re-sign. They re-signed one of their guys. Odey Abushi. Oh, but, I mean, there's a number of different guys in there, but like you said, that's where it starts. That's where you hope guys can really help out. And the Bengals also signed a free agent on the interior line for 3 years to try to protect their draft rookie quarterback coming out, coming up to them.
All right. All right, we're going to skip the kickers. They don't matter. Edge rushers. We already talked about Devontae Clowney in the first 40, and he's kind of coming down off his price, maybe realizing that, hey, I'm not that productive. I can't match my numbers against folks who are making the $25 million a year, so I'm coming down to 17. We already said that, hey, you might not be making the 17.5. You need to come down a little bit more because 3.5 sacks ain't going to cut it. And I think he should kind of establish himself with Seattle and move his way up because he doesn't have a lot of time. He's 27 years old, and you really haven't proven anything. I think this is where you hit your prime as a defensive lineman, and you need to stick and stay. But anybody else that kind of really kind of comes out and really kind of stands out, I got Jason Pierre-Paul re-signed a 2-year deal with Tampa Bay for $25 million. So, you know, he's taking a lot less money. I think that comes out to about $12.5 million a year. And I would say that Paul is more productive than Clowney. Your thoughts on the edge rushes?
Yeah. Clowney, though, I think Seattle's going to just try to kind of be quiet and let him realize that maybe he's not going to get the money he's looking for. And then he wants to play,
mm-hmm.
so like, I guess I'll take whatever you guys we can negotiate. So I think they're playing the waiting game. I think Tennessee's doing the same thing. If he's healthy, Javadian Clowney can really do some things. But the whole point of it is, how long will he be healthy? How many games is he going to play for you? That's the main key here. So was surprised by even though Robert Quinn had 11.5 sacks, he ends up going to Chicago on a 5-year, $70 million deal. He's 29. You had to ask
mm-hmm.
Chicago what the hell he was thinking. He's been off and on. He had 11.5 sacks last year, but it was where he was playing at as well. Shaq Lawson signed a 3-year, $30 million deal with Miami. Proud of him. 25 years old. Got some serious money there. But I wonder, Terrell Suggs is 37. Anybody in the Texas out there?
Yeah.
37.
Yeah. Take your ring and go home, man. Take your ring and go home. You got a ring.
Wow.
Go home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rusty.
I'm looking at also Bud Dupree, who was franchised by Pittsburgh, and he's a mainstay. He has to stay with Pittsburgh. And who else on this? Not too many other guys that I'm looking at, but Terrell Suggs, that kind of flashed at me, 37 years old. Wow. You had a long, good career, man. Don't be surprised you don't get picked up. Interior lineman. And this is a position that a lot of folks are kind of, especially on defense, don't give enough credit to. But Sue signed with Tampa Bay for one more year. And along with, Gerald McCoy used to play with Tampa Bay. He's 32, signed a 3-year deal with the Dallas Cowboys, trying to put some heat on the opposing quarterbacks. What are your thoughts?
I mean, there at this point, there it's almost like you lose one guy, you trade, you get another. So you kind of swap McCoy for who just went to Chicago and slipped my mind. But, yeah, it's like he's trading guys out. Dallas is so desperate because they couldn't stop anybody last year. So they had to make a splash some way. And that was key because a lot of times if they would have stopped, that was Gerald McCoy, I'm sorry, I was talking about. Oh, no, Gerald McCoy went to Dallas and then they lost Quinn over into Chicago. But
right.
They couldn't stop anybody last year. Dallas couldn't, so they had to do something with a brand new coach. So I don't think McCarthy is going to play be that bad. He's not going to be upset. He's not going to. I guess my point is he's not going to wait too long to make people make plays. And I don't care what Randall Cobb said because he signed with Houston because he wanted to play with the quarterback Watson. I think there was a little heat that he knew with the new coach formerly of Green Bay coming in that the writing might have been on the wall for him. He didn't want to go through that again, even though he wouldn't say it.
Yeah. I'm noticing that there are a few cornerbacks and safeties that haven't been signed. And I'm looking at Tlaib. Not sure he's going to be re-signed again. And just like we said earlier, I think teams are kind of waiting on this draft to see what talent they can pull out to kind of to see whether or not they need to sign some of these free agents. I know we talked earlier about Eric Reed. Eric Reed, I didn't know Eric Reed was this young. He's like 28 years old, still a serviceable defensive back. But anybody on this list kind of just pop out at you that you're surprised that haven't been signed yet?
Not really. When I'm looking at this list, I saw a few guys that I thought would play would be well, but I did see somebody over on the safety side. They got signed. That was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Von Bell.
The what side?
Von Bell.
Okay.
On safety.
Okay.
Got signed by the Bengals. 3-year, $18 million. That's awesome. Told you. I've always loved the game since college. Guy that was a second leading tackler from the safety position with the Saints. Think he can help the Bengals tremendously.
Okay. So, I think some of these teams are really kind of looking for defensive backs that are coming out of college, because you got schools like LSU, you got schools like Alabama, turns out great defensive backs all around the country. There are some defensive backs that folks are teams can look at to kind of sign on. The other free agents, the restricted free agents, you have Tyson Hill. You have Nathan. I don't even know why Nathan Peterman is still in the league as a quarterback. What he did with Buffalo. I don't even know why he's still in the league. You have Kareem Hunt. That is the restricted free agent. Do these teams, some of these teams that have these restricted free agents, do you see them trying to move some of these players to try to get some of the maybe a draft pick in the first or second rounds, or even a third or fourth round?
It would be interesting to see what the Saints do. If somebody really was coming for Hill. But they'd have to. It would be interesting. But I think they're kind of set where they're at right now. It'd be interesting to see what happens there. Other than that, I just think that, like you said, they're waiting on the draft to see what happens. And the other question is there any team that feels that strongly about a certain player that they will come out after them? Second round tender is kind of a big deal for somebody. But right situation, and if you could guarantee there is no baggage, I think some teams might be looking at Kareem Hunt. Because now that Dorsey's gone, then I think that they would kind of want to start new. Because right now he's just sitting behind the running back, and I think he would like another opportunity to start somewhere. But he's got to prove himself first.
Doesn't he have the court case pending on him with the the abuse, the physical abuse, domestic abuse?
I think so.
Okay. Because I know that's why the Bears didn't really want to kind of touch him, even though the Coach Nagy here was quite familiar with him. They just couldn't bring that here to Chicago. It just wouldn't play well here in Chicago. But if that court case wasn't pending, I'm pretty sure Chicago, who needs a running back very badly, like Kareem Hunt, would have picked him up a long time ago. That's just my opinion. We got about 6 minutes left, man. Any questions that you had that we didn't bring up in the show that we need to talk about now, whether it's baseball, UFC, whatever, man, I'm turning it over to you.
I'm looking forward to if UFC comes back. I know we talk about baseball and stuff like that, but you got a lot of questions out there in UFC as to whether or not who's going to fight whom. So I'm looking forward to that. I mean, you got guys like Khabib versus Ferguson.
Who can't leave Russia.
Yeah. So they said that.
They won't leave
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, when you say that, how that's working out, I still find that Khabib could be stripped of the title and Tony Ferguson wants to fight him. But then, trying to think of it, our guy that beat Nate Diaz. Oh, man. He says if Ferguson can't fight, he's available. He told Khabib, yeah, I'll fight you. He's going after that money now, but he beat our boy Nate Diaz, and he's going straight for the cash register. I'm interested.
Yeah, you know, I think the UFC, other than any other sport, could really take over sports right now. I really think that can happen because they don't need anybody in the arena. All they need is the cameraman and the folks on the team of each fighter, and they can make this happen. They can really make this happen. You know, we talked about in the first 40 about, you know, China trying to step in and bring basketball back. You hear the Premier League talking about going in remote locations where the virus is not and testing all their players and getting them to play in arenas without fans. So I think the UFC could do it quicker than any other sport. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, people want to see the fights, and if they're willing to get in there and do it, they have the means in regards to the television and the satellite connections that they can really do it. And as long as they were good fights, then, of course, you know, Dana White doesn't wait for anybody. And he will step out and things happen. So the question is, can he get the quality fights and can he get them sanctioned? That would be his biggest hurdle one way or the other.
True. All right, man. We're going to end this show. Unless you have a last-second shot, we're going to end this episode and come back next week. But you have a last-second shot?
Yeah, last-second shot is, again, we just hope everybody is taking this situation that's worldwide seriously. Be good to yourself. Stay healthy from that standpoint. Also, it's no joke. It is no joke. And those that particularly have conditions that are previously, it's no joke. And it's taking no prisoners. So I suggest that you take care of yourself and be well.
Yeah, I echo that too. And we talked about this in the first 40. Sports is not essential. We have fun talking sports. We are entertained by sports, but I'm getting out of here in my quiet time, out of this whole situation, is that life is bigger than anything. And so sports takes a back seat to all of that. Again, we love talking sports. We love for you to listen to our shows, but make sure you take care of yourself, take care of your family, and tell people that you're close to, that you love them. That's going to do it for us this week. We will be back next week. Take care.